BePod Studios.
So Phillies go down last night. I mean, that's just where they are. I did have a friend text me and say, why aren't you saying that the score of the Phillies last night was 6-9?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's our show theme. So, John, I appreciate you letting us know that. But just another horrendous. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm sitting there. They get a 5-2 lead. And you're not thinking like, okay, good, this is going to be a big win. They're going to come. You're just wondering when they're going to blow the lead or how they're going to lose the game.
Yeah.
And if we feel that, I that's got to be creeping into the clubhouse.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, we can just call it. Like, it's done now.
No.
No, it's not.
Over.
They're only two out, James.
It's never over.
You've been saying this, and you're probably going to be right.
It's
going to
get way worse.
Look, Mets fans were saying the same thing a month ago. They're on a tear.
And guess what they have? Pitching.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
there's that.
we have one and a half pitchers.
Vargas and Smiley aren't getting it done for you?
We have no bullpen.
Who's your half pitcher?
At Vargas.
Okay. Not Smiley? You don't like Drew Smiley?
We have no bullpen, and we have one of the least energetic and entertaining offenses I've ever seen.
But Bryce Harper shushed everybody. He shushed everybody. When they were saying that he was overrated, he came back.
Yeah, he pointed right at that kid.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you shut up.
Shut up, kid.
I'll show you overrated.
Yeah.
Check out my direct deposit.
Yeah.
Not overrated.
Check out my direct deposit. Oh, my God.
15 mil, kid.
Today.
How's my ass taste?
610-632-0975. I'm having a problem with the Eagles sitting everybody, their fear of injury that is really frustrating for me. I want to know what you're frustrating. What frustrates you in sports? It could be something big. It could be something small. Whatever it is, Brooks Koepka, he's frustrated with the slow play on the PGA Tour.
That's awesome.
That is. Yeah. So he went after Bryson DeChambeau. And
people hate.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. People on Twitter don't seem
they think he's kind of reinventing the game. Like, he has this really weird approach on the driving range that people, like, it turns some heads. He uses all the same length clubs, we were saying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he takes, like, 2 minutes to line up his putts because he uses the angle. Like, he has some kind of, I don't know, they, like, study the greens, and then he lines up for, like, a minute and a half, and it just irks people. And Brooks Koepka wasn't having it. He went full meathead.
Yeah, apparently, DeChambeau had his caddy go over to Koepka's caddy and say,
if he's got
if
a problem,
Brooks has something to say to me, tell him to say it to my face.
And Brooks like, okay. Yep.
So Brooks said, okay, as soon as I get there, I will. So he did. Yeah. Marched right to him on the drive practice driving range.
You got beef, bro?
And
we got PGA Tour beef?
We don't. Could you imagine, like, cameras rolling on that? I wonder if the producers that are covering the golf would be like, oh, we got to get this. Or do they shun away from because it's a gentleman's game?
No, you know, you got to embrace it.
I don't think so, right?
Yeah, you don't get that very often.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is awesome. The only thing it would be better if it was like Tiger that he was ticked off at. I mean, you know, two big boys going.
They are
going
two pretty good golfers, though.
Yeah. Number one.
You just had some nice little golf, you know, in these past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Some stuff going on in the golf world. You had the one guy that was flying to another tour that got all drunk and the guy had a little incident and peed on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
I was listening to
Mike Mitz's show and they were talking about it. Where this golfer just acted up. I mean, just got hammered and, you know, ended up, you know, peeing on the floor in first class. Like, you know,
how does that happen?
You know, I think he did, you know, fondled the lady that was next to him. And things just went a little sideways. You know, next thing you know, you're peeing on the first class floor.
Yeah, golfer pees on the first floor of here it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is it? Anybody recognizable name or no?
It's a Swedish guy named Thorbjorn Olsen.
Yeah, so you expect Thorbjorn.
Yeah, old Thorbjorn.
Yeah, Olsen. You know, you expect him to act up, you know, get a little hammered, you know, you like pull his wang out and just go ahead and pee on the floor. That's how I feel about it.
How can you get that drunk that you just think it's okay to pull it out and pee, just, and, you know, on the floor?
I think you got some deep-rooted issues if you're doing that.
Yeah.
I guess.
There's some things going on.
People do some weird stuff. David in Northampton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Hey, you guys are talking about preseason, and Bob, I agree with you. I think it's getting out of control, but I think more than anything else, and Trey, I gotta give you credit because you made me kind of a believer. I think that offensive line, more than anybody else, really needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about last year when Carson came back, and he gave up, they gave up, what, six sacks in that Colts game?
Yes.
We can't have a repeat of that happening again. I don't want to see him come into Washington flat and Carson just gets obliterated. And I know all those players need some playing time in the preseason, but I think that offensive line, more than anything, needs to be on point. Everybody needs to be on the same wavelength, you know?
Yeah.
And the only way you get that, to me, David, is by getting out there and playing at full speed. And you're not going to get that in practice. You're not going to get stunts, blitzes, whatever, stuff that you're not expecting in practice like you are in a game. And we saw it the other night against Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I look back at the Super Bowl season, and the two things that stuck out to me were the defensive line and the offensive line. I think those are the two things that actually really got us to win that Super Bowl. And I think right now they need the most work because they're going to rely heavily on both of those lines this year.
Yeah, totally agree with you in that. Oh, go ahead, Trey. Yeah,
nah, quick question, though, David, since you brought it to the offensive line and defensive line, because we were having this question, throwing this around a little earlier. Who do you think is more athletic, offense or defensive line?
I want to say offensive line because they don't know what's going to happen from a defensive perspective. They're kind of guessing. So I think you have to be not just physically athletic, but you almost have to be mentally ready because you don't know what kind of stunts or how the edge rushers are going to move. So you're kind of anticipating what those guys are doing. That's what I kind of look at it.
It's a great answer.
It's a great answer. I tell D-Walk this all the time, that we are more athletic than
Trey, I agree with you. They should have, the offensive line should have won the MVP award for the Super Bowl. I agree with
you. There you go. Man, David's on board with you, Trey. David, you have tickets to FanFest?
Oh, yes, sir. I am ready for that day, my friend.
Good man. Can't wait to see you there. Thanks, David. And David brought up it perfectly. Good lead-in by David. Our morning poll brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And that's going to be our poll, Ty, if you can put that up. Our poll question of the day, who's more athletic, offensive lineman or defensive lineman?
That's right.
I think David made a great point.
That's great.
Right off the bat.
That's a great point.
I mean, like, it's like the wide receiver cornerback battle. Who's got the advantage? Well, the wide receiver's got the advantage because
where he's going.
Yeah. They know what route they're running, and they have the rules in their favor. Uh-huh. Same thing with the offensive line. You're at the disadvantage there because the defender knows what move they're going to pull or what scheme they're running. So, yeah, the offensive line's at a disadvantage.
All right, let's switch it around. Let's look at it this way. Trey, could you have played defensive tackle professionally?
I did. Well, not professionally, right. But when I was in college, I was recruited
they
as a DN.
Right, and they switched you over to offensive line like right away, right?
Yeah.
Or they told you to fatten up a little bit or something? Wait,
yeah,
Isn't that how they labeled it?
Yeah, they let me put on weight my freshman year at Florida State.
So what'd you do to put on weight? Pizza?
Yeah, just
chilling.
Hanging out. Just hanging out in Tallahassee, you know, just being a young lad, you know, in Tallahassee.
Wings, mozzarella sticks, large pizza,
hit some Guthrie's, you know, anybody that's been in Tallahassee, they know about Guthrie's, you know. So just hanging out at Guthrie's a lot and just getting a good box and, just being young and at Florida State and put on probably about 40 pounds. And they were like, you want to play DN? Oh, all right. Well, if you want to play DN, because I came, when I showed up my freshman year at Florida State, I think I was like, what, maybe 270, something like that. And then they were like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, you want to play DN again? All right, well, we need you to get back down about 260. Oh, yeah, just switch me on over to offensive line. You know, take offensive line to work for me.
I'm good.
I think you were out with the birth of your Skyler when Trey was telling the story for the first time, and he was like, yeah, it was because you redshirted your freshman year,
yeah,
right?
I redshirted,
He said, so I go down there, and I'm all right, and all they do is keep feeding me, and I'm eating and eating. He said, man, this is great. Little did he know that their plan was to move him to offensive line.
That was their whole plan the entire time. They're like, oh, man, he's 6'7", 6'8". Oh, yeah, no.
You were the last to find out.
Yeah, I was the last to find out, yeah.
So, but
well, it worked out pretty well for
you.
Do you think a majority of offensive linemen on, you know, going with this question, do you think they could switch over and play D-line or play...
Yeah. Yeah. Most offensive linemen played different positions anyway.
I mean, Peters was recruited as a tight end.
Yeah, he was a tight end. Lane Johnson was a quarterback
in high school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How about the other way? Could D-linemen go over and play offensive line?
So you're saying, like, if Fletcher Cox was the...
Could he be a guard?
Yeah, could you... Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
See, this is why it's a great question.
Yeah. possibly.
I mean, Kelsey, yeah. I think, could play almost any damn position.
Yeah, because Kelsey played linebacker.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah, he used to play linebacker.
It is. People don't realize how freakish these guys are, I mean, yourself included, Trey.
Jimmy Kelsey had a tweet out that Kelsey caught down Malcolm Jenkins on an interception the other day in practice.
Yeah.
I mean, our center caught our safety? Does that mean our safety's slow or our center's that much of a freak?
I think it's that much of a freak.
Yeah.
I would go on the freakish part of it. It's amazing. Like, when we go to practice and stuff, the things that these just huge men are capable of doing athletically. Mm-hmm. And, Trey, of course, you're just one of them.
Yeah.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Morning show, Farzetta and Trey. Bob Cooney in for Mark Farzetta today. Trey Thomas here. Jamie Lynch and the wonderful Tyler Zuli.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Tyler, I got to give you props, my man. How about Tyler?
What did I do?
Tyler was on the air till midnight last night.
The kid works.
Back at it today. Took a little nap on the couch. Didn't leave the office, stayed here, ready to rock and roll this morning.
Got to put your hours in.
You could never tell by looking at you, Ty, that you're going on 3 hours of sleep.
I'm starting to feel it a little bit.
Are you?
A little bit.
Suck it up.
Oh, and a couch sleep doesn't even really, like...
I don't know. See, I'm different like that. Like,
I can sleep on the couch, but you never feel refreshed.
No?
Not really.
Huh. Sometimes I go into modes where I just, like, I want to do that.
I like taking my naps on the couch.
I'll get in... I can't get into a bed when it's light outside.
Oh, I can.
Oh, no. No, no,
but I'm
no,
like a
no.
Grizzly
I can't
bear
do
wake,
it.
Getting woken up.
Well, you have trouble getting up anyway. Ty, did you have to set an alarm to get up this morning?
I set 4, actually. But I'm super paranoid with my alarms. I've always been that way.
I set 6. I've told you this. So for the 2 years or whatever, it's coming up on 2 years that I've been working here and getting up at these ungodly hours, I think maybe 5 times I've been woken up by my alarm.
That's crazy.
I wake up. This morning it was 2:50 I woke up. I usually get up, you know, like between that. My alarm was set to go off five minutes later.
I don't think he sets alarms either.
I don't know if that says that I don't sleep well or whatever, but as soon as my alarm does go off, my rule in my head, feet hit the floor. Just put my feet on the floor as soon as it goes off.
I don't even think about that. Resolution 1 year to stop snoozing, and I did well with it for like 3 months, and then just naturally started snoozing again.
And then the baby has to throw you off a little bit too.
The alarm has been on vibrate for the last 3 months.
Oh, that's
which
right.
Scares
yeah.
me, and that's why I started setting 6 of them. She's in the other room now, so I'm back to a normal alarm.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. How's she sleeping in the other room?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. The separation has happened.
It has.
Was it hard?
Not on me.
I was very cool with it.
I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, is the monitor turned up to like 1,000?
Yeah. And she'll like wake up and just look at it sometimes. I'm like, she's fine.
Oh, yeah. That's why you have the video monitor.
Yeah.
So we didn't have them back when I was having kids.
Oh, yeah. Just the audio.
Just all you would hear is...
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Gives you like the temperature and like it's great.
Her temperature?
No, the room temperature and stuff.
You get Skylar's temperature, her heart rate, you know, how her REM is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet. So, Jamie, I know you've switched. I know you've gone to the side of, bubble wrap Carson. I understand it. I get it. I hate it.
I was on the other side, so I can't vehemently disagree with anybody that wants him to play.
Right.
It's just, to me, you have everything to lose and not a ton to gain.
But does it frustrate you at all?
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised how much it soured me.
Well,
we're not going to see these guys until September 8th.
It's because it's not just Carson. It's Carson and Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks and Jason Kelsey and Jason Peters and Fletcher Cox and Ronald Darby and Nigel Bradham and Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
You're not seeing like the majority of your starters, so it's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying as hell to me.
Like, listen to those names I just reeled off. Those are your best players.
And what annoys me, not only are we not going to see them, but that we're living in fear of injury.
Yep.
And I was always taught, and look, I'm not saying I'm right, but I was always taught, you think about it, you fear it, you play not to get it, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
And that's what's really like, I don't know, I'm just like a balls to the wall if injuries happen, okay. That's not the approach anymore. The approach is, well, why risk it? And I don't know. It just sours me.
The approach is, well,
me.
It's going to happen, so why make it happen in the preseason?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it is.
I just hate the mentality. Dennis from Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
Good morning, guys. I tell you, I think I got the solution to this issue, because I want Wentz to play, too. Because one thing I don't want to hear is after the first or second regular season game, when they look sloppy and everything, it's like, we got to knock the rust off.
Yeah.
We didn't get no work in the preseason.
I mean,
I don't want to hear that from anybody.
Typically, September's kind of gross football
sloppy.
Because it's now their training camp, or preseason, I should say.
So here's what I would do. Whoever the starting offensive line is supposed to be Thursday night, and is Peters playing just for precaution? I mean, not playing just for precautionary reasons.
Yeah, I think he's set to go, but yeah, they're just holding him out for precaution. I don't think it's injury that's holding him back.
What I would do, and this would hold a little bit more water if Lane Johnson was playing, hold the starters out and start them in the second half, the first series, against the other team's backups. If you're worried about your backups being beaten by the other team's first-teamers on the first two series of the game, and wouldn't the opposite be true?
Yeah, that I hear your reasoning. You know, I'll go to the other side, Dennis, just because second teamers, third teamers, whatever you may be facing, those are guys that are playing for roster spots. So now you might be more likely of, you know, here comes a guy 1,000 miles an hour. He's got to try to make the team, and then, you know, boom, your starters are getting hit. But again, I don't advocate for that. Again, you're playing in fear of injury. Like, what is this fear of injury that encompasses everybody so much?
I mean, you know, look at all the young starting quarterbacks that played over the weekend. Mahomes played, Prescott played, Mariota even played. Are they less valuable than Wentz to their team?
No, good point. Yeah, good point. My biggest thing is when injury becomes this much of a topic, it's going to linger and something is going to happen. You can't prevent it, whatever it may be. But when it rules your day, that's what bothers me. And it seems like it's ruling the Eagles' day now.
And you're going to start Johnson and Peters and hopefully Brandon Brooks in that first regular season game. And what? They're going to be 100% good to go? No rust at all?
I doubt that.
It's really frustrating.
It is.
To go from where starters used to play a little bit and then the first half of the third game.
Right.
To not playing at all, and it's okay. I don't get it.
Yeah. Dennis, you going to Fan Fest?
Yeah, I already got my ticket.
All right, good man. Thanks for the call. Much appreciated. You know, Dennis, it's an interesting point that he makes. How about you bring the starters in the second half if you're going against the other team? But again, as cool as that sounds, or maybe that's a solution a little bit, you're still playing to injury for fear of injury, and that's what's really bothering me. That bothers me more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's annoying.
Blake in Newtown Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Blake.
Hey, best of luck to Mark, too, as well, with the new baby. So,
thanks, we'll pass it along.
He's going to need it.
I just wanted to comment on the, some starters getting some reps and whatnot, which, I mean...
Yeah, it's not even a quarterback thing anymore. It's the whole team.
It is. And, I mean, I totally do agree with the last caller on a lot of comments that he made. The game's football, injuries are going to happen no matter what. So, you know, just take the preseason and knock the rust off, like the last caller said. You know, I mean, that's what that is for. I mean, the games don't count. So, I mean, yeah, if your starters have, you know, a bad outing on, you know, a three and out or whatever, that's fine. It's preseason. Just let them get in there and let them, bash around a little bit, you know, to get the job done. I mean, I just don't see the point of having none of the starters play.
Yeah, and you know, if soft tissue injuries are now the big thing, you know, the pulled hamstrings or whatever it may be. Well, if you're going to do something like that, wouldn't you rather have it done 3 weeks before the regular season starts as opposed to getting out there in week one?
Exactly, because, I mean, yeah, I mean, if they get hurt in preseason, okay. If it's a four-week injury, there's 3 weeks of preseason, at most they missed what? The first week of the regular season? I would rather that than have them miss half the year.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Blake, is there anything else in sports, whether it's a player, a situation, whatever it is, that really frustrates you?
Should I get started on the Phillies?
That's fair enough.
I mean, I've been watching the Phillies for a long time, and I mean, I'm 34 years old. I was watching the Phillies back when, you know, they were playing a 93 World Series, and to be honest with you, yeah, the roster they have, you know, for offense is good, but this is probably one of the more disappointing teams that I've watched.
Yeah. In all of Philadelphia and all of time. Blake, do you have tickets to FanFest?
I do not.
Would you like them?
I would love them.
You got it. Hold on 1 second. We'll get them to you.
What'd you think of A-Rod last night?
I got to be honest. I don't.
You weren't paying attention.
Well, I was sitting out in my kitchen. I had the game on, and I was, you know, getting ready for today. So I wasn't dialed in totally to the announcers. Was he bad or good?
I like A-Rod.
Yeah, so do I.
He's had like a. I hated him as a player. He just like annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's. I don't know whether it's opened up and just showed like his true nerdiness or whatever. Like, I like him now. He's done like a complete 180 with me. But he was very critical of Gabe Kapler last night when they pitched to Kevin Pillar late, which ended up being the go-ahead triple.
Yeah.
And A-Rod called it like it is. He's like, this is mismanagement. He was like, Kevin Pillar has been on fire lately. You have an opportunity to put him on base, and yet you pitch to him in this situation? He said, that's poor managing.
Wow.
I disagree with what he did. And he ripped him.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you know, good. If Gabe did something great, I would hope he'd do that. Why did you hate him as a player, A-Rod? Was it the whole steroid thing?
Yeah, that. And then, like, you know, he was a Yankee, and he just seemed like a douche. And he had that half-centaur, half-A-Rod painting that was going around. Oh, and, yeah. Like, did anybody like A-Rod?
I don't know.
I guess that's the better question.
Yeah, I don't think when a guy's not on your hometown, I can appreciate, but I don't like many players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of.
I appreciate them. Like, I like the hometown guys because I
respected how great of a player he was, but yeah. I didn't like him.
I never
something
really thought of A-Rod all that.
Yeah.
Something there it is.
Yeah.
See, that's why I asked you, because you're always. It's not like, oh, I didn't like the way he would, you know, he didn't go after balls in the hole or something. Yours is always something offbeat. You know, oh, there's a painting going around that I hated of him. Like, you're just kind of an offbeat dude.
He just seems weird. But he's a good commentator. I will give him that.
Yeah, they didn't bring up Jennifer Lopez, did they? It seems like every time
he tweets at her, like every day. It's
I know.
So annoying.
Like,
yeah.
Jen, I miss you in Russia. I know you're doing great, man.
Yeah, I guess
in love.
You'd miss her too.
Did you see the video when he was a young player? He was like first or second year in the league. They were doing an interview with him. They were like,
"Oh yeah."
Who's your celebrity crush? And he was like, "Jennifer Lopez." Man, if I can ever get a date with her, I'll be happy.
Yeah, how about that?
There
huh?
you go.
Yeah, he's living his dreams.
And now it happens.
She looks ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, 50 years old.
50, and she looks like she's 20.
Yeah,
she's all ripped up. 8 packs.
She's all ripped up.
Yeah.
She's all
damn,
ripped up.
Damn, Jenny from the block is bringing it.
Mm-hmm. So, Trey, you being the only guy in the room that has gone through this, how much did it mean to you, to the team, to whatever, to get actual reps in the preseason? Are we overstating it? Am I overstating it that I'm upset that they're not getting out there? It doesn't matter at all.
It does matter. I mean, I think it matters. Do you need all four games? No, I don't think you need all four games, but you do need to get some reps in the preseason. I mean, you need to go through the process of being challenged, especially if you're having camps where practice isn't full tilt the way it used to be. So that's what those preseason games are for, to kind of put you in some of those strenuous situations that you're going to be in game situations anyway. So it would help to kind of go through that during the preseason. You know, I get it, though. Everybody's so worried about injury. And I mean, you know, that's something, it can be avoided sometimes, but then sometimes it just, that's part of our game. Injury is part of the game. It just is what it is. But I think that, you know, it is necessary for you to go through some of these preseason stuff just to get your wind up. You know, as the offensive line, you know, I think as the offensive unit, you're going to have to get your wind up for offensive linemen because we don't rotate out. You know, it's not like the defensive linemen that they play two or three plays and then they come out the game and get someone else in there and they keep rotating fresh bodies in. Offensive line, you play from the beginning to the end. That's usually how it is, unless you really blow out a team and then they start pulling guys out. But for the most part, who you start with is who you finish with. And for you to do that, you kind of need to go through those preseason games to kind of get your wind up so that you can be ready to go.
You have amazed me since I've gotten to know you about how much practice meant to you and how you were set on everything that you had to do. There was the way you describe it and knowing you, you didn't take much time off. But let me just, how often in preseason did you go as hard as you went in games? Maybe it's all the time.
When you're in the game, you're in the game. You know,
right? But I mean, can you, like, in preseason? All right, it's a Thursday, 98 degrees, and you're out there. Are you going? I know you're going, but I mean, is that intensity? Are you going as hard as the same as you would in a game?
Yeah.
Okay, are. Yeah. Is everybody?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because you better not step on the field and not go 110, you know, because
then that's when you get hurt.
Yeah, that's when you get hurt. So you need to be out there doing. You need to play that game. You need to approach that game just like it was a regular season game. You know, like, all right, I had this series or whatever that count is, and you just go at it full tilt until they pull you out. Because if you don't, then that's when you get hurt. That's when you get rolled up. All of that other stuff happens because the other guys are going to go. So you need to make sure that you govern yourself accordingly. Now, I do think that you don't need four preseason games. I think that you can get it done in two. But I just feel like you need it for timing and for conditioning.
You make a great point about the conditioning. We can't forget, we are the season does start in early September. It's hot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's reasonable to think it's going to be 90 degrees for the first few games that the Eagles will play this year, indoor in Atlanta, whatever it may be.
Like, look at Embiid. When he gets some time off, he comes back. He's not in game shape.
Right.
He's been doing cardio and probably working the whole time, but he's not in game shape. It takes you a little bit to get back to game shape.
Because
it's different shape.
Oh, my God, yeah. The stop-start of it all, like Trey said, going from beginning to end.
Not getting water when you want it, not taking the breathers when you need it. All that stuff comes into play.
Yeah, no, exactly. Jimmy, Lehigh Valley, on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy?
Morning, fellas.
All right.
Had to give my weekly call in. So on this whole preseason stuff, I got just a weird question. I mean, as bad as the Redskins are projected to be this year, right? We talk about how even if they came in for the first few series of the second half and these guys would be going 100 miles an hour, you don't think that if these guys didn't play at all in the preseason and then they're just thrown out their first game that the Redskins aren't coming 100 miles an hour at them?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course they are.
So what's the difference? Like, we should get them in now and get them used to these hits and the speed of the game and everything like that, rather than, all right, now it means something. Here you go. Go get hurt.
Yeah, I hear you. We're allowing injury to rule the day, the fear of injury to rule the day. I just don't think it's a good thing to do. I think the more that you put that out there, the more likely it's going to happen. I just think this fear of injury that's ruling the day, that's what has me frustrated today.
I got to agree with Trey wholeheartedly. I don't think, like, the first game, I'm okay with them not playing. But they've got to do something, at least two of the games. Even if it's the second and third game and you hold them out the fourth, that's fine. But they've got to get two games where they get at least maybe a quarter in the second game and maybe a quarter and a series in the third game. They've got to do something like that.
Totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree. I think they should be out there like it was in years past. Maybe a little bit in game two, maybe a half in game three. That's fine. You want to sit in game four and be ready for the season. But I don't know. Sitting out the whole preseason just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I can't do that. And I just got to tell you guys, I met A-Rod one time. I was cleaning a house, and it ended up being his house. And he's a really nice guy.
Really?
I bet he is.
Yeah. In real life, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's got like $300 million in the bank in J-Lo. I'd be pretty damn nice, too.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Much appreciated.
I mean, right? Guy's kind of winning life.
Yeah, I guess.
Not much to be upset about.
I don't know. Just having a whole bunch of money make you a happier person?
It certainly doesn't hurt.
I'd like to try it.
I'd certainly love to try out.
Yeah, why not? 8 o'clock, we're going to talk a little baseball. Hall of Famer Jason Starr coming up. And then at 9 o'clock, we will have Zach Berman from The Athletic to talk a little bit more Eagles.
Foles-Wentz week.
Yeah, no. But I bet you Foles does play. I'll bet you they shine him off and get him out there in Jacksonville.
And as they kind of should. He's a new quarterback in a new system.
New quarterback, new system, a lot of money. People want to see him. That'll be fun, but I don't think he's going to get the head-to-head with Carson Wentz. I don't think Carson's going to play this week.
If he does at all, Trey's right. It'll just be week three for like maybe two series and out.
Get him out of there.
Yeah, and
with three-fifths of the line not playing, I'm good on him not playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him out there without the starting group out there.
No. You know, we'll talk about Mailata because it was funny. Bob and I, with the naked eye, thought he struggled. Mm-hmm. And then you and I saw some other videos over the weekend of him, and people were saying, no, this kid played really well.
Yeah, he did.
And Andre Diller, we have to ask Trey about, too. Because
yeah, exactly. Trey's going to give us
the breakdown on that offensive line six times by now.
Oh yeah, easily.
He was going over just that blitz over and over again just this morning just to get it out of the way. So, all right, we got to remind you, Twitch TV, watch Farzetta and Trey with me and Jamie and Sam sometimes, right?
Yeah, on Twitch.
Simply follow 97.5 The Fanatic on twitch.tv for our post-show showcast. Time at The Fanatic, 7:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey Show. Bob Cooney in for Mark Farzetta. We got Trey Thomas, Jamie Lynch, and Tyler Zuli. Tyler's going solo today. Doesn't even have any help. He's getting it done. 3 hours of sleep. He was here till midnight last night. Tyler, I think you're going to win some kind of an award today. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but we'll have to give you something. But I'll tell you what we do have. This is huge. Jamie, this is right up your alley.
Yeah, I like all these things.
You like chilling. Coors Light wants...
I like Coors Light, chilling, and the shore.
That's right. Well, Coors Light wants to see how you're keeping it cool this summer. Are you hanging at the beach? I was at the beach on this weekend, on Saturday. Are you hanging at the beach? Are you brushing your teeth in the shower, which is gross? Or are you just chilling at a pool? Whatever it is, send us your made-to-chill photo, and you can enter to win a week with your friends in Sea Isle City, courtesy of Coors Light. Close your summer with a chill week at the shore. From August 17th to August 24th. That's right, a full week down the shore on them. You only have now through this Wednesday, August 14th, to enter to win. Coors Light wants to see how you're keeping it cool this summer. Go to the contest page at 975thefanatic.com for details and official contest rules. You must be 24 years of age or older and available on August 17th to August 24th. One random entry will be selected to win the prize of a week at the shore. That's awesome. You spend a week, August 17th to the 24th, down in Sea Isle. You run back on the 24th. You get to Xfinity Live by 12 o'clock because that's right.
Fan Fest.
Yeah, and I tweeted out the link from the station account, 975 The Fanatic, on Twitter. You find the link right there, and you upload your pictures, and you could win a week at the shore.
There you go. No, that's not bad at all. And also, check out our poll question, which is brought to you by Window Nation. Our poll question today, who are the better athletes, offensive linemen or defensive linemen?
That's right.
And we have a former offensive lineman sitting here, so I think I might have to go offensive line. Shane, where do you go on this?
My gut said defensive lineman off the bat. The more and more I think about it, it might be offensive linemen. It's a really tough question. Like, here, the Eagles, I think, have an extraordinary athletic group. I don't know how average that is. Mm. Like, Kelce, Lane, and Peters are all freak athletes.
Yeah, Trey, you've marveled at Jason Peters' athleticism.
Absolutely.
Numerous times.
Yeah.
You've said...
I think we have an above-average athletic offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, way above average. So I don't know if that's standard. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, maulers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, the fast athletic types. So I don't know if I have an Eagles biasy when I answer that or not, but I would say offensive line.
What are some of the things that... Now, you said the disadvantages of an Andre Dillard watching Jason Peters is that he might try to do something that Peters does, and nobody can do that.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that Peters does that really wowed you when you watch him play?
His ability to... turn a bull rush where he's getting bull rush, how he could sink his hips and then turn it into a dry block, I thought was just extremely like...
Nobody does that.
I've never seen anything like that. Like, how do you do that? There's absolutely no way I would have tried to do something like that. His ability to be able to jump set anybody and be able to keep up with them, especially when his knee was healthy, his ability to go out there and just jump set anybody, just how fast he can get downfield, how much of a better a run blocker he is, the way he can sink his hips and drive, what else? I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much a lot of what you see as offensive line. But, I mean, just his ability to be able to just transition just out of pass blocking to transition into a run block, that's almost ridiculous.
And it's funny, when you talk about, it's a fine line whether you try to emulate him or not, because, as you said, he does things that other people just can't do. But one of the things I noticed the other night, both with Andre Dillard and Jordan Mailata, was getting that quick kick right out of the snap. I'm almost to the point where it looked illegal.
Yeah.
And that's something that Jason Peters does too. Is it just the timing of the, when the count's coming? Is it okay. Yeah. And they're doing big kicks also.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a big fan of the big kick, just because if you're taking like a real big kick, you want your kick to kind of match up with what the defender is giving you. But because you don't want to get back too far, you don't want to get too far back too quick,
right?
Because then that gives up the inside. But I think that one things that you saw from these guys is that the anticipation of the count, and that's what any good tackle in this game has to anticipate the snap count. If you're not first, you're last. I'm gonna go like Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last. as an offensive tackle, the offensive tackle better be your first person moving. Like, when I watch college guys, the first thing I look at, is he the first person moving off the ball? Because that's something that, that's kind of hard to train. You have to anticipate that count. You have to, like, most of the time you look at tackles, we're probably leading with the false starts. Because, we have to go. You're dealing with the fastest rusher out there, so you don't want me late off the ball.
Right.
So we have to go. If there's any hesitation in the quarterback's cadence, we're gone.
Right.
You don't want that tackle last. So I think the biggest thing that I noticed out of Jordan Mailata, especially coming from the time when I went out there and watched him at practice to this game, was his anticipation of the cadence. Because I knew that watching him in practice, I'm like, man, he's laid off the ball. He's laid off the ball. Because now, once you laid off the ball, everything changes. Now you're in bail mode. You're turning too quick. And then that opens you up to, all right, here comes the bull rush. Your shoulders are already turned. So now here comes the bull rush. Here comes the game. You're in all kinds of bad situations. So I think anticipating the quarterback anticipating the snap count as a tackle helps with a lot of technical stuff.
Yeah. Any advantage you can get, you got to get.
And the Dillard was looking good off the ball as well.
Oh, yeah. Dillard looked, he looked really clean. One of the concerns I was worried about was how would he handle some of the power rushing that he would get on this level. And he handled it really good with those guys out there. He's smooth. He's clean. He doesn't have any hitches in his step. He doesn't step up with his outside foot. A lot of times you see some young offensive tackles when they come in the game, they get in that stance and they step up with their outside foot and then they drop their inside foot and then they get back into their kick. Well, that's a false step for us. So you don't, you always want to be right. You always want to go 1-2, 1-2 straight back. You don't want to step up and then drop in with your inside foot. Then now retracing that outside foot back again because now, you know, you're already behind it.
Yeah.
But he gets out of his stance really clean, stays in good balance, uses his hands well. It's not a big violent punch,
right,
but it's good enough where he plays with good extension, and that's what you want to see. I thought he did a really good job of switching off any of the games that came his way. You know, even with some of his run block, and I was surprised with when he got out there, when he had to do some zone blocks that were coming his way, he did a good job of creating movement. Got his inside hand locked in, and he started driving. Also on the backside of it, he created movement with those combination blocks. I think both of them did a really good job this past game.
Nice.
He seems so smooth, Dillard. I mean, that's just the word that follows him.
Yeah, it makes you feel decent about, you know, because Peters, frankly, is never going to play 100% of the snaps.
So no.
He'll probably be like an 80 to 85% guy.
Right.
So that makes you feel good about those 20-15% of plays that Dillard has to come in for.
Now, the one thing Jordan has to work on, though, he has to work on finishing. You know, you can't just punch the guy and feel like, all right, he's by the quarterback.
On that blitz you showed me earlier this morning, he gave a push, but the DN kept coming. Kind of, not to say quit on it, but thought that the push was enough.
Yeah, you have to finish. You have to finish. And there's a way, too, as a tackle, once you get edge, you don't want to try to fight it with your outside arm. You see a lot of young guys, they still try to fight it with their outside arm, and then once you get to a certain point, you're going to have to let the guy go. So, and this is just something that I just had to find out along the way, is that once you get edge to a certain point, you have to pull your outside hand out of it and get strong with your inside hand to run him by. So you want to get strong with, you pull your outside hand out, and then you turn, and then you run with your inside hand, because now you have the defender, you, and then the quarterback, instead of you trying to fight it with your outside hand, and he edges you, and then bam, there's the quarterback.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.